This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoors Show with Captain Mickey Eastman.
Mickey broke the record at Camp Denny's on oysters, about however many you can eat.
Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 40 years, and along with winning numerous national and local tournaments, Captain Mickey was recently inducted into the Saltwater Legends Hall of Fame.
The reason I broke the record is I don't think I had enough money in my pocket to pay for all of them. Because if you break the record, everybody with you eats free.
Now here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Saturday morning. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the Outdoor Show this morning. It is Jace, our sponsors today, Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated, Angler U, the Belleville Meat Market, and Boyd's One Stop. All right, 76 down on the island in Galveston this morning. Well, these nighttime temperatures keep warming up, but areas of patchy fog early this morning with mainly sunny skies, high around 80. East winds 10 to 20, and then for tonight, clear skies, patchy fog developing again after midnight, south-southeast winds 5 to 10, and then for tomorrow, sunny, very warm, high near 80, winds east-northeast at 10 to 20. Unseasonably warm, I might add. And looking at tides for today, these are Galveston Channel tide predictions, and we have four of them. We finally got off the two tides, but we're sitting on a high right now. That occurred at 3:04 a.m. It was a 1.7. A low coming up at 9:32 a.m., a 1.3. Then a high at 11:38 a.m., a 1.4. And then a low at 7:39 p.m., an 0.6. Pretty much the same with a couple of weak tides in between the high and the low that are the strongest, kind of like we had for the last few days. 7:28 a.m. at sunrise, 6:38 p.m. sunset, and our moon phase, 36%. We're headed towards a new moon. All right, looking at current conditions right now, it's southeast at 6 at the North Jetty, and at San Luis Pass, it's southeast at 6. The old rollover site, pretty much the same, east-southeast at 6. Up at Morgan's Point, it's northeast at 3, so winds are down again this morning. Looks like another beautiful day. Take advantage of it and get out, go get them, have fun. All right. Let's go over to this Sabine Lake area, Golden Triangle. Let's check in with old Bill Watkins this morning and see how he's percolating. Good morning, Bill. Are you up and
out? Hey, man. Yes, I am. Up and out and dressed and ready to go.
Going again today. Get on with it.
Going again today, and thankfully I'll get a day off tomorrow, and then maybe next week I'll be doing some more.
Lick your wounds and get ready for another week.
That's right. And it's been catch 'em every day.
That's it. Yes. That a boy.
Yeah, it's been really good. Now we got birds working all over the place.
Yeah.
That's pretty interesting. You got some better trout in some areas working under the birds, and then you got some little trout and sand trout by the millions. And redfish, and the redfish are eating those. So we caught some, we caught 8 oversized reds yesterday. They were like 29.
Y'all were going to start catching all these nasty oversized, man.
Oh, yeah, 29 to 32s.
Well, next year they'll be 36 and 40s.
Yeah, hopefully they'll go out in the Gulf. Hope they remember how to get out there.
Too much food up there for them. They like them trout.
Oh, man. They do. They love sand trout. Yeah, they do for a fact. Oh, man. But it's, you can throw any color of plastic that you can pull out of your box, any style, any whatever, and catch a fish. It's like you could go down the rack at academies and you know, Bass Pro Shop and pick any plastic off the rack and throw it out there and catch fish. It doesn't matter about the color, doesn't matter about the style. We use paddle tails, we use ball tails, we use every kind of a thing, and it just got, it all got bit. So, oh, wow.
I think an old bead bait that never would catch anything would catch them under the birds, huh? Remember those baits, the bead bait? Looked like a little keychain trinket. had a couple of treble hooks on it. Remember those?
Yeah. Yeah. I had one that was made like a kitchen sink, a double kitchen sink.
Yeah, I remember.
Had a treble hook on it.
Right. Well, we threw everything at them today, boys, even the kitchen sink.
That's right. They will hit everything. I dare say you could throw a pencil out there and catch fish on it.
Probably so.
Yeah, those, when you get in those sand trout, boy, they'll eat the heck out of everything. It's constant bites. They won't even let it go to the bottom.
No.
And then right in there, either a gaff top or a big old redfish will come out of there and eat the, you know, push everybody out of the way and eat that.
You know, those gaff top love those little sand trout, too. They gorge on.
Oh, I bet they, yeah, shoot, yeah. I can't figure why we don't have any sand trout bigger than 10 inches. But, man, I mean, there's just...
Same reason we don't have many trout over 14 or 15. We're kind of a kindergarten camp right now, preschoolers.
Yeah, that's true.
It's amazing how similar my backyard fish is to your backyard. They're very similar in a lot of ways.
Oh yeah, it is. I did get in some nice trout way up north.
Yeah, well, that's good.
Yeah, got into, but nothing over 18, 19 inches.
Right.
Yeah, still the same thing. That's,
are you catching those nicer ones more shallow than you are the small ones?
No.
They're deep,
too. They were in 9 foot. They're 9 foot.
Good Lord. See, our better fish are coming shallow right now, and the, you know, all the pencils are hanging deep. Well, they're pretty much running with a shrimp crop.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure that we've got any big ones left.
Well, I'm saying,
I haven't seen one.
What you're calling nice fish, 18, 19 inches, that's what I'm talking about. Let me restate that, our better fish. Our middle to upper slots, I'll put it like that. That'll be more diplomatic, I guess. Middle to upper slots.
Middle to upper slot. That says it right.
Because we do have a slot on trout now, just like redfish. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, who'd ever thought we'd see that, but we do.
You get three of them, man. Man, you can load the boat. Let's get three.
Oh, heck yeah.
The flounder limit's more liberal than the trout limit. You can get three reds, three trout, and five flounder right now. But you got till November 1st. Then flounder goes away.
Yeah, in Louisiana, it's already gone away.
You're totally shut down over there on the Louisiana side on flounder.
Yeah, and we had a really nice 3.5, and then the next day we had a 4-pounder, and we just had to look at it and throw it back. Oh, yep. Man. Hadn't caught one like that in a while.
Oh, yeah. There's some nice ones being caught shallow, you know, in the flats around here.
Yeah.
You know, by the Wade fishermen. They're catching them while they're fishing for trout and reds. Some nice flatties.
I sure hate to throw those back.
Yeah, that's almost, man, that ought to be against the law.
It should be. Oh, wow. Nobody throws a flounder back, but they're having to now.
Yep.
No,
and I don't think it's really our fault, you know. We have to pay the price for it. I think it's more, you know, these declines in fish population, just more, you know, habitat and environmental issues than it is the fishermen themselves.
Well, I think what happened with our flounder, I'm just guessing now, but we had a hurricane come near here in 98, and it held the tide up, and this was in, like, early September, if I remember right. I don't remember the name of the hurricane, but it held the water up high for about, 3 or 4 days while it was passing. And we had oxygen depletion in the back bays.
Right.
And those flounder, there was a lot of flounder died. And they floated up, and you could see them floating down the passes with the current. Water was clear, but the hurricane didn't come in here. It just held the tide up.
Right.
So I know we lost a lot of them right then, but the decline wasn't that obvious at that point. But then a bunch of them got caught in the fall run.
Right.
And we've never recovered from that.
Man, everybody anybody wanted to fish for flounder, everybody headed your way back in the day.
Oh, golly. You could focus on flounder almost all year in this lake.
And you could actually catch more of them than you could trout at times back then.
We had a guy that kind of opened it up to me. His name was Skip James.
I remember it was Skip.
Yeah, I think he's passed away now. But he literally made his living on flounder at that point.
Right.
And, I mean, he said 10 by 10 and 20 by 12. That was his motto. And he could do it. I mean, there was that many flounder. And, oh, wow. Now, you know, there's like one on the shorelines he used to fish instead of 20 or 5 or 30, 40.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could just catch them. And he had a method of doing it. You know, all BS aside, he could do it. He's a good fisherman. So that's not happening anymore. But you know, maybe they can get things back the way they used to be. I have hope for that. I'd love to see the flounder return.
You and a lot of folks.
Honestly, we just don't have the flounder that we used to. But they're being protected now.
They really are. Everything is. We'll know we're in trouble when they put a limit on hardheads and gaff top. You know?
Yeah, well, it'll be over for me.
Yeah, we probably won't be around to see that. Hope not. I'd hate to see that.
Oh, man, that's terrible. That is terrible.
Yeah. I just had to throw that
but
in
it could happen.
Trying to be funny this morning. Let me knock his break out. I'll come right back at you, Bill. Hang with me.
All right.
You know, folks, if you're looking for the ultimate outdoor adventure, well, welcome to Rusty Hook Ranch, a premier hunting and fishing destination right in downtown Matagorda, Texas. Whether you're after waterfowl, quail, thermal hog, or even alligator hunts, Rusty Hook Ranch has it all. And don't forget about their top-tier Matagorda Bay fishing charters also. And bring your friends, bring your clients. Let the boys at Rusty Hook Ranch take care of everything from five-star lodging, skeet shooting and sporting clays to a fully stocked bass pond. And your weekend here will be one you won't soon forget. And if you need a place for team building, family reunions, weddings, or other events, Rusty Hook Ranch can sleep large groups of up to 40 people and host events for up to 300 people. So why wait? Experience the best of Texas right at Rusty Hook Ranch. Book your adventure today. Just go to RustyHookRanch.com. That's RustyHookRanch.com. And tell them Captain Mickey sent you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It's 417 here in the Bayou City. All right, Bill, we are back, my friend.
All right. Well, I am here with you.
All right. Well, good.
Just in my closet checking out to see what I need today. Well, see what I need to wear for a shirt and everything.
I don't think you'll need a rain jacket or a windbreaker.
No. No, it's... It's not happening today.
Need a little extra water.
Yeah, I've thrown several of those in the last guest for sure.
Yeah.
Man, I'm telling you, it's been a stretch of nice weather.
It has. Unseasonably warm and very nice for October.
It's getting a little bit too warm for me, though.
Yeah, we even had a drop of rain this month. I don't think so.
No.
I can't recall.
I don't think so.
Exactly.
Don't believe we've had any. So, shoot, man. But we'll get through it, and it'll turn cold. And then it'll finally turn really cold.
Yeah. Well, we might get a couple of stints of cold weather. Well, we did pull a hurricane, so that assures us that we're going to get something real cold. We usually do after
yeah.
We pull a hurricane, you know, snow or
that's right.
A real good freeze, but it's looking pretty grim on the, you know, for water. And it's not
yeah,
looking
it is,
so good for opening weekend of deer season and duck season. Man, it's going to
no,
be warm.
Really not. Shoot. Oh, well, I thought...
we moved our doe hunt back from the second week in October to the second weekend of November.
Right.
And and looks like it's going to be just as hot. I remember my cousin said, "Oh well, it'll be cooler then." I thought, "Well, yeah, right." Sure enough, it's not going to be.
Some of the weather folks are saying, you know, with this La Nina winter pattern we're going to be on, warmer and drier than normal.
Yeah.
For, you know, the Gulf Coast, so we'll see.
Well, it sure is dry. We've got burn bans over here in this area.
Yes, we've had them over here for a while now, the county I live in, so.
And yes. Well, it looks like fall fishing's going to go out with a bang. We'll see what occurs.
Well, I'm ready for the winter pattern. I'm ready to get rid of all the garbage, you know, the ladyfish and gaff top and all that junk, and just get down to clean schools and nothing but trout and redfish, you know.
Well, we don't have any ladyfish. We don't have any ladyfish in the lake right now at all.
Yeah, they've been gone south for a while. Isn't it amazing how that little old fish can come in here and do its spawn or whatever it does, and then turn around and, I mean, they're like teal ducks. Just, they do everything fast.
And they eat all the way from the time they're born?
That's all they do.
They eat all day long, and I guess they stop at night, and eat and eat and eat and grow and grow and grow. And by the time they get out to the jetty, leaving into the Gulf, they're somewhere around 12 inches, 10, 12 inches.
Yeah, and some of them
all of that within
36
the,
inches.
Oh, yeah, there's some whoppers out there that look like mini tarpon.
Yeah. There's some tackle tamers. They will destroy a good leader in line set up.
You ever have one of those things slam a lure right at the boat and do a double or triple somersault over the boat and out on the other side?
I call them psychos.
They're crazy.
They're nuts.
They are psychos. And it's hard to land one.
Well, they don't like restriction or hooks buried in them.
No, they don't.
You know, I've heard a lot of credible fishermen say that fish don't feel pain. Well, I said, well, you're not setting the hook hard enough. I said, well, it's just they don't like being restricted. That's why they fight good. I think they feel pain.
I don't know. I've seen trout, you know, that a shark just hit, and he's bleeding down his side, and he's still eating. That would make me quit eating. So yeah. I'm not real sure about all that. But I know when they feel pressure, they take off the other way.
They do.
Oh, man.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I just catch them. I don't know that much about them. I just catch them.
That's it. That's my single-minded focus. I am not a trout scientist. No way. But I do know how to catch them. Yeah, every day. So that's just the way that is. I'm not going to change. I'm just slightly interested in how all that works. But I do know that how they travel around in the lake. That's another part of it you have to know. Once you figure out how they move and why they move there, you can pretty well catch them just about any time you want.
Well, and that's the part of being successful, of being a fisherman like that a long time, is to know your bait system, know what makes it click. I mean, the whole nine yards, from, you know, the habitat aspect all the way through everything that it takes to grow a fishery, and how these fish move around in it, what makes them move. And it's usually, you know, it's related to salinity levels and bait activity. You know, if you can stay with a saltwater and a bait, you're going to be on fish 90% of the time. You know, you're going to get days where you can be on them, they're not going to bite. That's just fishing, being there at the right time when the bite goes off. But
yeah, that's true.
If you can get that down and really realize and figure how the flow works in your bay system that you fish all the time, you can be successful most of the time.
Yeah, that's
if you got something to learn with. Naturally, you got to have fish, but
if you got a lot of freshwater, yeah, if you got a lot of freshwater coming down, you need to learn where the bait and the, you know, where that salinity level is
that the bait is at. Is.
Or where that breaking point is, and then you can go at it. And,
yes.
You know, this year earlier, it was, it pretty well pushed most of the trout out of the lake.
Yes.
Now, there were still some juveniles up there. You know, they tolerate that. And, but you really couldn't get on any concentrations of trout until you got in the lower part of the system. And, you know, it's obvious what makes them do that. Just take simple observation. I mean, I'm not a scientist by any means, but if Parks and Wildlife on both sides of the lake had any sense at all, they'd consult people like me instead of worrying about setting gill nets. And gill nets that they set are in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah, they have a computer model that they go by every year. Same old thing, yeah. Same spots. And a lot of times,
that's good.
You know, conditions don't prevail. Those fish aren't going to be there to start with. And they're going to miss
that's all good.
Surveys.
But they need to talk to the local guys that are out there all the time. And use that in conjunction with what they're doing instead of being so scientific that they can't put their ear to the ground and listen. But, you know, I guess at this point in my career, I just don't care. You know, I've tried to talk to them and I got blank looks and
yeah,
but I'm out there in the fish.
You don't have that degree hanging on your wall, Bill. You don't count.
Yeah, well, that don't mean that I'm stupid.
Exactly.
It just doesn't mean that.
Well.
Oh, well.
In my books, I'm going to take and advise the theories and the patterns from the guys that are out there doing it every day. They're the ones that know. They're in touch with it.
Oh, yeah.
They're on it every day. They know exactly what they got to work with. And I'll take their opinion over others without a doubt.
Yeah. Imagine if they did their double blind studies and surveys and net samples and then combined that with what some of the better guides are out there doing. They would really get a big picture.
Yeah, because we get the picture off catch ratios and size and quality and everything else.
That's right.
And they do similar with a gill net, but they kill the fish that they're surveying.
Yeah, they don't need to be doing that.
No, it's a catch and kill thing.
That's a catch and kill thing. I've seen them, big old tails sticking out of their net and all that kind of stuff. That just frustrates me.
Yep. I think it's
they
wasteful.
Don't have to kill the fish. It is wasteful. You know, they should do more creel surveys at the ramp and ask people where they caught them and this and that, what part of the lake.
Well, they do, Bill. They always show up when it's raining and blowing 40 and 50 miles an hour.
Right.
Nobody's catching
them. I've seen that.
How many times have you seen that?
Oh, too many. But like I say, I guess I'm at the point where I just don't worry about that anymore.
I don't
Nobody ever listens.
I just I'm just trying to make another day, man. You know?
All I know is that most of those biologists, so-called, if I handed them a rod and reel and a lure and told them to go catch a fish, they probably couldn't do it.
No.
So, you know, if they think they're so much smarter than me, it's just the degree. It's that piece of paper that separates. And, you know, we've got people in college right now that are pointy-headed academics that are teaching people stuff that's totally off the wall. So yeah. Why not here, too? Don't get me started, buddy. Sometimes common sense goes a long way, right?
I think it's probably the best avenue to take in life. Common sense and common knowledge. I think you'll go a lot farther with that than other avenues. Just saying.
Yes. Just saying.
Just saying.
I agree.
But what do we know? All right, yep, buddy. Yep, well, you going to fish a full day today?
Yeah, I'm going to probably go to 2 o'clock.
Fish till
1:30,
get them,
2 o'clock. Yeah, we're going to fish till we get them. Because I've already been told by the guy sponsoring the trip that they had to fish for their supper. So,
well,
the pressure's on.
Can't be
keeping oversized red.
Said, let's have a fish fry tonight. You and Pete going fishing, man. Catch us some for supper. Boy, that was a kiss of death every time.
I know.
You know?
You're right about that. You are right.
Get a text going, well, I invited a couple other people. Make sure y'all limit out and everything. Get plenty. Okay.
Oh, God.
No problem.
Yeah.
The kiss of death.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. Well, hey, if somebody wants to come over and fish the bean with you this fall and winter, give them some info how they can get a hold of you, Bill.
409-673-9211.
All right.
Well, that'll get you there.
Sounds plenty good to me, man. That's the number I dialed. I always get you.
Hey, have a good day, buddy.
Hey, you too, brother. See you, Bill. Take care, man.
Bye.
All right. That's Captain Bill Watkins over at Sabine Lake. And, folks, if you need pipe, valves, fittings, instrumentation, fasteners, or gaskets, and you need them fast, look no further than Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated. They're your one-stop shop for all of your petrochemical supply needs. They have a full fleet of delivery trucks and same-day delivery. There's no need to wait weeks for other distributors. Let Allied deliver today. And if you're looking for that hard-to-find item or you can't wait on long deliveries, their sales team, with over 100 years of combined experience, they're here to support you from start to finish. Whether you're on a 24/7 maintenance project or a ground-up construction job, Allied's got you covered. Remember, the first three letters of Allied are all, and that's exactly what they do. Call Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated to let them handle it all for you. 281-332-6224 or sales@alliedinc.com. Spell out Inc. That's 281-332-6224. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. Okay, 4:36 right here in the Bayou City. I was looking at, there's Angler, you always post some teaser videos on Facebook, and I cracked up when I saw this. And it was a great video, by the way. Beautiful camera work on tarpon fishing, you know, going over all the highlights, fishing with Plog and James Plog and his son Cameron and James Frausto and Jody Morrison. But it said, heads up, there's some slightly salty language in these exciting moments. You got to love it. All right, let's go up to Conroe and check in with the fish dude, see how salty he is this morning. Richard, what's up, man?
Not a lot, Mickey. You're trying to make me laugh this morning.
I'm trying to be funny. I'm just, I stayed up and watched the World Series last night. I'm about
punch drunk.
There you go.
Not enough, enough sleep.
I watched a little bit of it, and I said, that's enough. So I went ahead and took off. So I don't even know.
Well, if you missed the walk-off grand slam, you missed it all.
I missed it then. Ain't no doubt.
And extra innings.
Man, that's a good one then. I mean,
good start.
Good start. I guarantee you. But anyway, I'll tell you what, this thing, temperature is crazy. It's 68 up here this morning. It's like, goodness. You know, you go from 57 to 68, and it doesn't even feel like it's almost November. That's just nuts. It don't make no sense. But it is what it is. The water temperature is still hanging up there right around 82, so that ain't that ain't working right for me. I want that cooler water to get here so I can start catching some of these bigger hybrids and stuff. But these knuckleheads, dang temperature won't go down. But them catfish are doing pretty good. I mean, we did pretty dang good on them yesterday. Well, I only kept 43 of them, but man, I'll tell you what, the size was right. You know, they were all pretty much 15 to 19 inches long. Had a couple of them a little bit bigger than that, but just good solid average on them. So I ain't complaining. There ain't no doubt.
It's 10 to a bag.
Yeah, well, it's about 14.
Getting close,
to a bag,
isn't it?
Right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's getting there. It's starting to get there. That's the thing. Get that 10 to the bag. That's right. You know, that's normally.
I remember you always saying that. If I fillet 10 catfish and it fills up a gallon Ziploc, that's a good size right there. 10 to a bag.
I guarantee you get 10 to a bag, you got all the right size ones.
Yes.
You know, like I say, it's always the cool weather that brings those bigger fish in, you know, and that's, you know, it's a funny thing. I get people all the time, you know, fish don't bite in the wintertime. Yeah, they do. I mean, they got to eat all the time. Them rascals, they get bigger, you know. As that water temperature cools down, they just feed just repeatedly. They won't stop, and they just get bigger and bigger, you know, the average size. Now, yesterday we were sitting out there, and I changed the spots a couple of times. So one of the spots we pulled up on, there was a giant. What happens with these bigger catfish sometimes is they'll come up around you and they'll roll on the surface. Uh-huh. And there was one real good one that came up about 20 yards from us. And we waited him out to see if he'd come on in, but he never did come on in and eat nothing. But we knew he was around. Then we went over to one of the other spots, and there was another one. I figure he's probably 20 to 30 pounds that came up and rolled around us. But that other one, he was definitely bigger than that. I mean, he had to be closer to 50, you know, just by the way he rolled. I mean, it's,
yeah.
When they come up and you see that big, big roll on them, I mean, it's fun to watch them, you know, because when they decide, those bigger ones decide to bite, you'll see them come up around you, say 10, 20 yards out. Next thing you know, they're up there a little bit closer and a little bit closer. They kind of start circling you, and they'll keep coming to the surface like that. Next thing you know, you see them starting to blow bubbles right underneath the boat. So they'll start releasing some of that air, and them bubbles will start coming up right beside you, and that's when you know you're going to catch him. And that's like I was telling those guys yesterday. I said, if we hook into one of them big ones, the only way you know he's going to give up is when he starts leaving a bubble trail. Because they'll start releasing that air after you wear them out a little bit. And it's neat to watch, because you can always tell the size of the bubbles kind of determines the size of the fish. You know, you get them popping up the size of a Coke can, I guarantee you that's a big one. And it's, you get something
alligator
a little bit smaller. I guarantee you. I'll tell you what, it's funny to sit there and watch them do that, because you know, most people don't realize that's what they do. As you start to put the pressure on them, they just start releasing that air, because that air bladder on those catfish is pretty big,
mm-hmm.
especially on those big rascals. I mean, them knuckleheads, and that's how they stay upright. A lot of people don't understand that part either. They control where they're at in the water column by how much air they've got in their bladder too. So it's kind of neat to watch them and just kind of learn how they do what they do and why they do what they do. So But I don't know. I'm still ready to go catch some hybrids. But these, that dang water temperature just ain't, it ain't coming down. I mean, that's what,
no,
that's what gets them
up.
Fired up. I know, and that's what happens. You know, typically right now you've got the shad starting to bunch up in the backs of the creeks and stuff like that. And it's just not happening. I mean, you know, they normally, you'll find big balls of shad here and there and see the birds starting to work them and stuff like that, but they're just not doing it at all. And that's like a lot of the guys bass fishing too. You know, they're not catching near the fish that they're expecting to catch this time of year, because that particular pattern is one that's really strong. You know, when the water temperature starts cooling down, those shad bunch up and they start moving to the backs of the creeks, and they're not doing it. So the bass aren't even where they're supposed to be right now. You know, granted, there's a friend of mine caught one. It was a 10-14 about, it's been close to a month ago now, but you know, I was talking to him the other day. He said, it's just a grind. I mean, that big one was a total surprise. You know, you're catching a lot of little fish, and then all of a sudden, boom, you pop a big one like that, and it kind of gets your attention and wakes you up. But it's just weird this year for some reason. I mean, those bigger fish and the numbers of fish just really aren't there. You know, it's like we bass fished the other day, and you know, we had one decent one on, and then everything else was just little short rascals. I mean, them knuckleheads were anywhere from 12 inches to 14 inches long, you know. Now, most lakes are 14 inches or keepers, but on Conroe, it's 16 inches for a keeper up here, you know. And that's one of the things that a lot of people don't pay attention to. And then that's like yesterday we had, you know, was out there afterwards while we was catching some catfish, talking to the guy, because he was from Florida, and he's talking about fishing different lakes down there and how a lot of them have slots down there, slot limits. So, you know, you keep them under a certain length and over a certain length. And I think he said like one over, you keep one over 21, and then I don't remember how many he said under 15. That's kind of like how Gibbons Creek used to be whenever it was fired up and going hard. They had that. They had the one over, and then you know, three or four under that you could keep. And I think Lake Fork's the same way. I know Lake Fork's got that 21-inch maximum, you know, slot. And I think it's 15 to 21. I'm not 100% sure on that. But it's, you know, and that kind of helps the population of bigger fish grow, you know, especially if you get people that are keeping those undersized fish like that. You know, that's one of the things. And we've talked about that before, you know, pond fishing. If you go pond fishing and those fish got big heads and no bodies, you need to keep them. I mean, either that or just throw them out there on the bank and let the coons get them, because they're overpopulated.
Overpopulated, yeah. It turns into a runt pond, yep. Man. Fish can't grow.
I know.
There's, you know, there's not enough food source for that many fish.
That's exactly right. I mean, you'll always know, because I mean, their heads will be big and they'll be just skinny body, and you'll catch them over and over and over again. I mean, there'll be thousands of them, because I can't tell you how many ponds I've gone to. People ask me, say, hey, won't you come fish my pond and tell me what I need to do to help improve it and stuff like that? And I pull up to one and go to catching fish one after another, and every one of them are that way. And I tell them flat out, I'm gonna chuck these on the bank if you don't want to eat them, you know, because this is what's wrong. You've got too many in here, you know, and that'll be one thing that'll help you out. You know, I mean, you invite some kids over, let them kids catch some fish like that, and take them home. I mean, that's a way to do that, you know, because they need thinning out. I mean, that's one thing about bass in a pond, is if once they get established really good, they'll continue to populate, and unless you maintain good control of it, boy, you'll end up with that runt pond like you're talking about, and it's just, you know, it's no good. It doesn't help anything unless you're going to keep pouring bait to them, you know. And that's, a lot of people tend to want to go out and buy brim and minnows and stuff like that and put in those ponds. I guarantee you get one that's overpopulated, whatever you put in there ain't going to last long. So I always tell people, just go buy you a bunch of dang old crawfish. They're typically cheaper they'll reproduce on their own. They'll dig holes in there and keep coming back. So crawfish are your cheapest solution to bait in a pond. You know, the fish won't just eat them up immediately. That's one of the biggest things about them. Or you chunk minnows in there, I guarantee it looks like a school of piranha up there going to eat them. Because they know what they are, and they'll jump all over rascals real quick. So it's a hoot kind of figuring out these things like that. But it's one of those things. Right, this morning we're going to go jump on them catfish too, so see how them rascals want to do this morning. I mean, there were some good size ones out there yesterday, so I'm ready to jump back on them and see if we can't wear out a bunch more of them this morning.
Well, that's good. You got something working anyway, man. Well, throw out some info if somebody wants to get up to Conroe and hang out with you, Richard, and catch a few fish, brother.
All right, Mick, anyone get in touch with me at 936-661-7920. You can find me on Facebook. Just check out the Fish Dudes Guide Service. You can email me at admin@fishdudetx.com or just check out the webpage, fishdudetx.com.
Okay, Richard. Well, you have a good day. Catch them up, man.
Yes, sir. Y'all have fun.
Get you some M10 per baggers. All right, buddy.
There you go.
Later. All right. Now let's run down to Matagorda. Let's check in with old Charlie P., Captain Charlie Paradosky. Charlie, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Hey, a little tired from watching that game, staying up late.
Me too.
I went to bed when they tied it.
Right.
In order to ninth inning. I said, oh, man, they're going to drag this thing on. I just went to bed. So the Dodgers won it?
Yeah. Walk off by Freeman.
What?
Grand slam.
Well,
Yankees come back and made it 3-2, and then the Dodgers in the bottom of their inning, they got the bases loaded, and there's nowhere to put Freeman. You got to pitch to him, and see you later, alligator.
Well, what inning? How far did it go?
I think it was 11th.
11th.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad I went to bed. What the hell? I don't like either team anyway, so whatever.
Well, no, but it is a World Series. You got to watch, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I love baseball.
Absolutely.
You know, and it was so, I mean, our road to the World Series was there for us. We just couldn't put it together against Detroit. We couldn't hit nothing.
Yeah, it wasn't our time.
But, you know, that's the way we were all year long, those cold bats. I mean, people, they're cussing this pitching staff, but that's what got us to where we are, or were.
Yeah. That's true. That's true. But
except for Hader, I've never cared that much for him anyway. Quit hating on Hader. That's what everybody tells me. I said, well, when you need him, I mean, how many home runs did he give up in his innings this year?
Quite a few.
Yes.
Quite a few. Well, anyway.
He's good. He's better than most, but still.
Yeah.
We're just terrible baseball fans. We like to complain and cry about it. So that's why they get paid the big bucks. They can take it.
Yeah, buddy. Well, fishing's still good around here. It's just this damn confusing weather. They don't know what to do. Keeps warming back up.
Summer, fall, do they? Hey, they're fixing to go back into a summer pattern.
Yeah. Ain't no doubt about that. I found out yesterday, I had no idea that they're dredging the Colorado River. From the Celanese plant all the way down to the intercoastal. Every time you go into the river, you notice there's more barge traffic, and now they're going to they're dredging the whole thing. You know what? Few people have been going to the river. They've been saying, "Man, that water just don't look right."
Just wait.
Yeah. Well, that's what's happening. They've already started.
That may hurt your winter fishing somewhat this year.
Absolutely. Well, you're just going to have to fish dirty water. They're still going to go in there.
Well, yeah.
You know?
Get stink bait out and get with it.
I guess so. It's always something. They're always screwing up a good thing, aren't they?
You're in my world now. I can tell you all about dredging over here where I'm at. It's 24/7 year round for multiple years. It never stops. You wouldn't believe the silt they created when they dredged Cedar Bayou all the way up, you know, for the extra barge traffic that goes with that. And, I mean, it's just, man, I could talk hours on what I've seen change in just the last 10 years with all these dredging projects and everything else. And that's a game you play when you fish Galveston. I mean, it's just a big commerce around here, and, hey, the money's going to win every time.
Yeah, Maurice is always trying to get me to come over there and fish with him. He can't get anybody to fish with him anymore. And I said, Maurice, I don't even want to come back. I got memories.
Yeah, you don't.
I don't want them to change, man.
It's not the same place. Not the same place, man. Commercial armpit. What I call it.
Now, they're also going to open up Parker's Cut back up over here in West Bay, and that'll probably be for the best.
Well, I wonder what we can close up again in Galveston. We need to close more so y'all can open more down your way. Isn't that amazing how that works? They close them up, close things up and destroy stuff up here and then enhance and make things better down that way.
Well, they ain't making it better by dredging. They ain't making it better by dredging that river to make more barge traffic. Jesus.
No.
Well, it is what it is. It just keeps you on your toes. You keep. It's always been a learning experience, and you got to. That's what you're doing. Just stay with it.
I know.
Yeah.
I've been fighting it for 45 years. Just about had enough. Time to go south with the geese. Yeah. Fly south.
We're not going south. We're going down.
You're the smartest one out of everybody. We all fished together back in the day. You went south. Well, Quidon did, too. Y'all said y'all had enough. We're out of here. I'm leaving, and I'm not ever coming back.
That's what I did. So,
man, it was working.
Anyway, fishing is good around here. A lot of fish bit the dust of yesterday. Jesus. A lot of
killing
fish
going on.
Yeah.
Piles.
Yeah, it is.
Well, it's only three fish, so. Thank God. 5 and 10 anymore.
Yeah.
It really bite the dust.
Yep. There's a few more redfish starting to show up, Mickey, but it's just not like it should be. And it's because it hadn't got cold enough yet.
Hadn't got cold enough, and plus we had all that high water for so long. They'll group up and come back. We just need a good, strong cold front. We need about a 10-degree water drop and stabilize into semi-fall or winter pattern, and things will turn around before you know it.
Day before yesterday, that water fell out. Yesterday, it was right back.
Mm-hmm.
Right back up. So, keep hunting. That's what we like to do anyway.
Well, come December, we'll be crying because there's not enough water to fish anywhere. Pull one of those rip snorters, you know, a northwester, and just blow it all out.
Good. I'm waiting
for
it. See
what you got. Then
I'm waiting for it.
Yes, sir.
Yep. Yes, sir. That's it.
Well, throw them out a number. Somebody wants to come over and hang out with you, man.
713-725-2401.
All right, Charlie P. You have a good weekend. Good talking to you.
Take care, Mickey.
See you, buddy. All right, it's time for our top of the hour break. You're listening to The Outdoor Show. We'll be right back.
Are high for Sunday's rematch with the Colts.
This game is big this week. Game for first place. You know, we have a bad taste in our mouth from last week, and so we're excited about this opportunity. And as I told our guy, you can't get up for this game, then, I mean, why are you here?
Hear it here on Houston Sports Leader with pregame starting at 9 a.m. Insider access, exclusive content, Sports Radio 610, the Texans play here.
This is Dr. Laura Murillo. According to the Pew Research Center, Hispanic voters are more likely to be young and have potential to shape elections in the coming years. In 2024, this election cycle, your participation is crucial. Don't let others decide for you. Make sure you vote for president. Your vote is your right. Create a better future for yourself and your community. This is a public service announcement from Odyssey and the Houston Hispanic Chamber of Commerce.
Hey, it's Sean Pendergast, my friends at the Men's T Clinic. You guys know my story. I've been going to the Men's T Clinic for over 3.5 years now for my testosterone replacement therapy, and it's been one of the best decisions that I've ever made. But they want you to know that they've got a whole menu of treatments for male wellness. It doesn't matter if it's issues in the bedroom, issues with losing weight, with gaining muscle mass. They've got something for everybody at the Men's T Clinic. Make the appointment today. Make that consultation visit. Get your quality of life back. 5 locations around town. Find the one near you at menstclinic.com.
Captain Mickey here for Angler U for weekly fishing reports from up and down the coast from some of the best guys with decades of guiding and tournament experience. They cover wade fishing, kayak fishing, boat fishing with educational and instruction videos covering speckled trout, redfish, flounder, and tarpon. From seasoned anglers to the novice fishermen, Angler U can improve your game. Go to anglerU.com, that's anglerU.com, and improve your fishing skills. It's a game changer.
Sweet strawberry icing. You were strolling along in goodwill when just past that mid-century side table and denim jacket you spotted them, nestled in their display case. Miniature donut earrings. Oh, yes! Yes! Your favorite half-breakfast pastry, half-all-day dessert food, made into your favorite form of ear candy. Oh, my. Those bejeweled sprinkles have satisfied some unknown hunger within you. Shh! Do you smell that? That's the sugary scent of shopping success. For this is Goodwill. And with every item you buy, you fund local job training and more. So go forth. Bring home those donut earrings. And bring home so much.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.